From Minneapolis, I'm Emily Bright. What do you do when a sudden, catastrophic event reroutes your life?
I was a passenger. A friend I met that summer was driving.
Kimberly Brown was a 36-year-old tech writer on her way to a soccer match. Rush hour traffic, August 1st, 2007. She fiddled with her phone with her dog's picture on the cover. She didn't even realize they'd driven onto the I-35W bridge near downtown Minneapolis.
I noticed there was stop-and-go traffic, and it's kind of hard to say it all.
Do you remember sound?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was really loud. Things started bumping, and the bridge deck began to really shake and shudder. And then that sensation just got stronger and stronger, and eventually we were falling.
This bridge collapsed.
This bridge collapsed shortly after 6 o'clock.
The I-35 West bridge almost just buckles up into an upside-down V-shape.
Brown was hurtled more than 60 feet toward the Mississippi River.
Water poured over my head. It was coming through all the seams and filling up by our feet, so I thought we were sinking.
Debris blocked out the windshield. Concrete and rebar crashed around them. Brown was terrified she'd be crushed. She couldn't wrap her mind around what had happened to the car until she saw news footage days later. The car had landed at a steep angle on top of a piece of broken bridge, keeping them from sinking.
When we got out, it was just eerily quiet. And I don't actually know if it actually was eerily quiet or if I was just in shock or something. Then it got really loud. For a long time, a lot of survivors talked about being triggered by sounds of sirens and things like that.
180 people were on the bridge that day. 13 were killed. Since the 2007 collapse, Brown has struggled with spinal injuries and post-traumatic stress disorder. Everyday experiences, like splashing water from a garden hose or trying to park in a ramp, launched her back to the collapse. Brown says she found an obsession, trying to make sense of what went wrong with the bridge. There was so much terminology.
Superstructure, piers, structurally deficient.
The NTSB, National Transportation Safety Board, conducted an investigation. Their conclusion? Underdesigned gusset plates. In other words,
some designers made a mistake in that no bridge inspections could have identified.
Brown wasn't convinced. The NTSB has not wavered from their findings, but the engineering firm hired by lawyers who represented Brown and other survivors reached a different conclusion. Brown remembers the exact moment she learned it. She was watching a movie with her wife.
I jumped up from the couch and said, I wonder if I missed something. And I went into my closet and I pulled out a 3-inch wide binder, 3-ring binder, and started pouring through all the documents that I've accumulated since this whole mess began.
What she'd missed was a letter from that engineering firm, Thornton Tomasetti, blaming the collapse on something else entirely, something preventable.
Frozen roller bearings. And they were frozen or rusted in place because they were not properly maintained.
The conflicting conclusion bowled Brown over. By this point, she knew other survivors and families of victims.
I felt grief all over again.
She grieved, she researched, she wrote. The result was a memoir titled I-35W Bridge Collapse, a survivor's account of America's crumbling infrastructure. She hopes that readers will find some hope in it and a call to action. In 2017, the American Society of Civil Engineers examined the state of America's bridges and gave them a grade of C+. 9% of bridges they labeled structurally deficient. That's 56,000 worrisome bridges around the country being driven over every day.
I hope that readers will realize that we have choices, that we're not helpless. We can start making choices to take better care of our bridges.
For KFAI, I'm Emily Bright.